Welcome to the Profit Business Cast, Canada's podcast for innovative entrepreneurs and executives. And brought to you by Bennett Gold LLP Chartered Accountants. Here is your host, Robert Gold.
Once again, from high atop the Business Cast Podcast Center in Toronto, live and in the morning, I can see Blind River, Ontario. I'm Robert Gold, Managing Partner of Bennett Gold LLP, Chartered Accountants in Toronto. This podcast is produced in partnership with Profit Magazine and ProfitGuide.com. Today, it's going to be terrific. Kathleen McGinn is with us. She's the founder and executive director of the Empower Foundation, E-M-P-W-R, empower.ca. Kathleen, welcome to the Profit Business Cast.
Thanks, Bob. Nice to be here.
It's going to be great to talk to you because we're going to draw parallels between not-for-profits and for-profit businesses. But let's back up a little bit. Tell us about yourself and why you founded Empower Foundation.
So Empower Foundation is a foundation that we built to support some advances in concussion recovery. Found that the area of concussion recovery is not an area that's getting a lot of attention in terms of funding, in terms of research advancements, in terms of tools. And it's an area that I think that people are suffering still, and we still have a lot of sort of inroads to make in that area, whether it be from a research perspective or from a science perspective or recovery in general. Perspective and the sharing of information. It's an area that I'm really passionate about because I've got some personal experience in concussion and I have many friends who have participated in sport and who have their careers have been ended very abruptly by concussion. And it's something that affects us all. It affects us as parents. It affects our children. It's certainly an area that requires attention and deserves attention. We haven't really treated our concussion patients very well.
So that's your not-for-profit experience and it's current and relevant, but let's look at your business experience, and then we'll start to tie the issues and the things together. What is your most recent business experience?
Sure. I co-founded a food service business by the name of Beer Bistro, which is downtown Toronto. I owned that business for 10 years, and we operated it very successfully, and then we sold it.
So in running it, you would have run into all sorts of strategic problems, issues, HR matters, the whole gamut.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it was a sizable business. At our highest peak, I believe we had 58 staff, and we were looking at revenues of $4.5 million per year. So it was a sizable enterprise, that's for sure.
So let's dive into it now. Let's talk about significant differences that you experience when founding and launching a profit-oriented business compared to founding and launching a foundation. Are there three things that come to mind that are different about those two?
Yeah, very much so. You know, I think the first thing in the not-for-profit area, a lot of how and what you spend your money on is very, very different. If you were building Beer Bistro, you know, you could just make your own decisions about what you wanted to spend money on. In the not-for-profit sector, if you're trying to search after a charitable status, for example, you have to be very, very careful about what you spend your money on, the startup costs. You're going to build a restaurant. You have a certain amount of startup costs. You can spend any amount of capital that you'd really like to. It's your choice, but as a not-for-profit, especially if you're going after a charitable status with CRA, you do have to be very, very cautious about what you spend your money on. So going out and finding the Cadillac of web design perhaps isn't the best idea. We ran into situations where we could spend $20,000 to build a website, or we could spend five, and having to make that decision between, you know, I know that this person can build a really fantastic website for $20,000, but we can't spend that amount on administration and still qualify for charitable status. So you have to be very responsible in terms of the percentage of what you spend your money on, percentage-wise.
Well, you could certainly argue that to build a successful business from the startup stage, you have to be responsible with how you spend your money then, too. But I think your point is you're somewhat less accountable, except maybe to any shareholder partners you have, and, of course, the bank.
Yes, absolutely. It's just more about percentage-wise how you spend your money. When you're building something, you have to recruit a significant amount of capital and human capital in making it a successful venture and making sure that it's viable. You don't always have that option with a not-for-profit.
So let's talk about advisors and boards of advisors. I'm a big fan of advisory boards. I know there's some gurus out there that are not so much fans, but most of us seem to be. Did you find that the traits you're looking for when seeking advisors for either of your businesses, not-for-profit or for-profit, those traits are different in any way?
I'd say yes and no. So I think the first thing is that the nature of the businesses are very different. So in this not-for-profit world, we have multiple stakeholders, and I think that each stakeholder occupies a very specific role, especially in the sporting world, because we operate in that platform. And what they do for a living, let's just say as a coach, for example, their point of view as a coach is very different than the point of view of an athlete or the point of view as a researcher or the point of view as a head of a corporation. They're all people that are sort of involved in this, and it's a much more dynamic environment, I would say, or space in terms of all the different people who have a stake in the issue of concussion in sport. My last business, food service, was a little bit more focused, more unilateral, and there just wasn't as much nuance. We had a very straight mandate. We had shareholders and customers, and in terms of the advisory part, it required people from very specific financial backgrounds. There's a lot of operational aspects to the business that we don't have, the nature of the not-for-profit that we have. But the one similar thing, though, I found with our stakeholders, what's really different as well in terms of advisors in the not-for-profit is that they have to have some kind of skin in the game in terms of their level of engagement. And what has them be really engaged in the advisory process is their personal experience or their personal overcoming of themselves having a concussion or knowing somebody that has had a concussion. I mean, in our for-profit business, there was a lot of people who wanted to give us advice about beer and about food and all of that, but it didn't have the same resonance.
You know, it's interesting to me what you're saying, because I don't think I thought about the fact that advisors to a not-for-profit could have significant investment given their level of involvement and knowledge of the issues, and whether it's concussion or even Red Cross or Syrian refugee relief. There's a lot of stakeholders in the peripherals that have things to say and have knowledge that they can bring to the table. Unlike a for-profit business, there's lots of people that have the same things to say. Not-for-profit, it's a whole different ball of wax.
It sure is, and it really operates on people's passion, I really think. And I think that's how you get the most out of your advisors, is you find the people that are really engaged in the issue and really passionate about it.
So let's talk about operational differences. Are there any operational differences, and I mean the business aspect of running a not-for-profit or running a for-profit business?
There are some operational differences. The nature of my for-profit business had a lot of overhead, a lot of oversight operationally. There was a tremendous amount of moving parts, many employees. It was sizable. This, you know what, we're a startup. The not-for-profit is a startup. We're small. We have a very small staff. Very little overhead, very little expense around having a space to operate in, whereas in food service, you've got to provide people with a space, you've got to provide people with a great environment, and that creates a certain experience, whereas this is completely different. The environment that we operate in moves around. It could be on the web, it could one day be in a building where we hold an event, so it's very, very dynamic, and it's fluid, and it moves around a lot, and that's just really about what we do at Empower, and then what we used to do at Beer Bistro.
So I want to talk about headspace. Did you find it easier or harder to get your head into the game of launching and running a not-for-profit compared to your for-profit business? What's your mindset here?
You know, it's funny you said headspace. I think that my heart is more in the not-for-profit than it would be in a for-profit. There's a different social implication in that you're doing good for the world. I mean, I have no doubt that in our for-profit business, we did do good there. But in the work that we're doing at the not-for-profit level, it has a completely different nuance. And it fuels itself on our desire for change, passion. Obviously, we want to be very successful. We want to create a lot of tools and we want to make a difference in this area for sure. And I really want to make sure that we can create a difference and be profitable so that we can just keep on working and changing things and making things better. The for-profit business had a very much a different feel to it. It's for profit. It really is about creating revenue. The reason it existed really is to provide a living and doing something you enjoy, but to provide a living, this is different. This is an enterprise that belongs not just to me, but it belongs to the cause itself.
Now, if you can envision a time that Empower, again, it's E-M-P-W-R, E-M-P-W-R, empower.ca. If you can envision a time that Empower Foundation does have a staff of, let's say, 12, and we've got representatives across the country, we've got events and major fundraising, will your approach to running it then be, in your mind, more business-like than it might be right now, even though you're emotionally invested and you care about it?
Oh, absolutely. The one thing I think that the experience of running a for-profit business provides you with is perspective on strategy, perspective on training, how to create a culture of an organization, how to create very good branding, strong messaging. I think all of those lessons come in and play into really building a successful company. I think whether it's profit or not-for-profit, the same rules apply in terms of these are our long-term goals, these are our short-term goals. This is what our spreadsheet looks like. This is what we're able to do. And I think the more profitable we are as a not-for-profit, the more good work we get to continue doing.
Now, final question, and this is a bit of a hard one, but I want you to really try and help me out here. I want to see if there are three things that you would share with our national audience about starting a foundation from scratch that can translate into success when launching a for-profit business.
That's a really good question. Off the get-go, I really think that you should really spend some time with your team developing your brand and your brand identity. I think if you have a really solid, clean, very straightforward, very clear branding strategy that you're able to communicate really, really well to what would potentially be your customer base or your audience. Also, because you have so many stakeholders involved in your business, and especially if you're communicating in the public domain, to be very specific about how you're going to communicate to your audience. What's your tone? Is it dynamic? What are you actually trying to accomplish when you get out there and you do speak to people? Are you trying to spark curiosity? Are you trying to create dialogue in a way the language that you use when you are interacting with your audience has to go with your branding, and it has to have an end goal and be very specific and try to sort of incite the call to action and everything else. The third one is you can't be everything to everyone. That's a lesson that we've learned as we go into this, is that you have to really just put your stake in the ground and let it be that, and let it be very, very specific. We decided it was concussion recovery. It's not prevention. There's so many things that it's not. So decide what you are and then be very, very clear about what you're also not.
Well, you know, that's a great tip, because as I was thinking as you've been speaking, Beer Bistro is fine dining downtown Toronto. A lot of competition for fine dining in downtown Toronto. You mentioned concussion recovery. There's a lot of competition right now for mindset, for awareness, and for dollars in concussion as an industry. It's becoming an industry. It's a hot topic everywhere for various reasons. Yet you're focused in on concussion recovery. You have competition. With Beer Bistro, you had competition. Is there one final thought you can leave us with about differentiating yourself from the competition?
I think it's all about your message. If you can create a message, a resonant message for people that actually speaks to a place that moves people, I think that you can really affect people and attract people that way.
Kathleen McGinn, Executive Director, Empower Foundation, empwr.ca. Kathleen, thanks for being a guest on the Profit Business Cast.
Thanks a lot, Bob. It was really fun.
And until next time, I'm Robert Gold, Managing Partner of Benegold LLP, Chartered Accountants in Toronto. If you want to see how we make our brand identity work, check us out at benegold.ca. You can find other great episodes of the Profit Business Cast at profitguide.com. See you next time in the morning, everyone, and good night, Bill and Judy in Blind River, Ontario.
You've been listening to the Profit Business Cast, Canada's business podcast, and brought to you by Bennett Gold LLP, Chartered Accountants. From acceleration to succession, strategy to tax planning, there's a lot more through the door at bennettgold.ca.